Hello, my Fabulous Radio listeners, and welcome to the penultimate episode of Sex Talk.
What?
Something you haven't told us yet?
I just picked that word out of a dictionary. None of our listeners are smart enough to know what penultimate means, so it doesn't matter.
How about the catacathartic episode of Sex Talk?
I my vote goes for a medic episode of Sex Talk.
We have a very, very, very special guest. I'm DJ Corey. I'm here with Dr. Sexopoulos and Lance, and we have a very, very special guest tonight. We have Ray Serino. Ray Serino is an artist, sexologist, He's an entrepreneur. He's actually quite possibly maybe the United States, maybe the world's greatest innovator in the field of art and sexology. So Ray, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Oh, Ray, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
Ray, the question that you know, we talked a little bit before the show, and we just agreed that the question that I just have to ask you.
Oh, sure.
What is the highest energy force in the universe?
Well, you know, after you think about it for a second, it doesn't take that long.
The strong force.
I think it's really sexuality. There's no way. I mean, love is something that you know, turns the world. But I think that in other nations and other places, from the beginning of mankind and animal kind, there was this urge, and it's amazing how it's looked at. And I just. I want to kind of make it a beautiful thing rather than something that's going to turn people off.
Okay, that is beautiful. Ray, I'm going to ask you to use a little bit of your energy to speak up. We're having a technical problem.
It's not the electro weak force. It's not the atomic strong force. It's sex.
Yeah, that's right. Sex. If there's not sex, what else is there? You know.
And so, Ray, just to give our listeners a little bit of background, you're an artist, you're an innovator, you've been doing work for decades, and you have a website. Where's my URL?
It's innerspace1.com, the numeral one.
So it's innerspace1.com. And I've been there, and you know, you've really managed to fuse, you know, both art and sexuality in a really beautiful way that I've never sort of seen before, except when I look in the mirror.
I mean, for those of our listeners who are not web, enabled, one could think of like dildos made of Venetian glass, right? Like there are these beautiful sculptural sex toys, I guess you could say, right?
Oh yeah, I think the reason you don't see many designers taking this challenge is because it will ruin their career. I think that it would be a bad idea for them to jump into the sex industry the way that they could, and I think more should, because they shouldn't be afraid of it. It's like the highest power energy force in the universe, so why would they be afraid of that?
Although, you know, there was an issue. There's this design magazine that I like called ID, which stands for, I think, International Design, right? They had an issue, or a few articles a couple issues ago, about sex toys, specifically.
Right. They interviewed me, not for that article, they interviewed me 5 years ago for that, and I didn't know that they were going to come out with it, but they finally did.
It was much more about what I could call the mechanized sex toys, right? Much more about vibrators.
Right, vibrators.
But but clearly there was actual design going into these, you know, in the industrial design sense.
I think so. I think that these were institutionalized designs with what the customer wanted. I think that pretty much what I do is coming from a different power, a different area, because I have an industrial background, but I think most of the things I come through. It comes right through the cosmos. I don't know where it comes from, but one of them called the Venus is like this fertility goddess.
Pardon us, caller. We've completely lost you.
Oh, we're back.
Okay, we're back.
You're back. Okay.
So could you repeat what you just said?
No, I was saying that I have one called the Venus, and the Venus is something that there used to be 90% of all art in the world was these little icons of fertility goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 5,000 years ago, and out of the blue, I just jumped on my lathe. Well, not jumped on it, but I stood by it. And I created this Venus acrylic sex toy. And I didn't even know what I was making. It just came out of the blue. And and from that point on, it became like a multifunctional piece that is representative of a woman's body.
Multifunctional?
Yes. It
sounds like there's a story there.
Well, right now I'm in a process of creating a light source from it as a nightlight. And the idea is you put it on your nightstand, and you could dial in the color you want to dial into. And you could, you know, if you want to put the green light on, that means you want to have some sex going on. Or if you put the yellow light, you enter with caution. And then, of course, the red light means, you know, you're going to be kind of like stuck.
So it's a sex toy for couples with communication problems. I like it.
Well, yeah, and also sometimes people have trouble communicating, and also let's say, of course, a guy would leave the green light on all the time, but I know some women that like the green light on all the time also. But
I'm actually surprised that you said that this would belong in the bedroom. I was thinking maybe it should go, you know, on the front porch or in the locker room.
My work is one of the few pieces that can be like on Times Square, and they wouldn't know what it was.
Well, certainly the new modern Times Square, that would be the case. I think 10 years ago they certainly would have known what it was.
Well, actually, some of them not necessarily, because I'd make only a few anatomical shaped pieces. But that was pretty much by demand.
Well, we should stop here for a second and try to explain really what differentiates the form of what you do from sort of the traditional artifacts that get used for this purpose, right? So you do have a couple of anatomically correct pieces that resemble...
Well, to go back to the roots of sex toys, it goes way back into the history books, but the people that made it pretty famous, there was a guy named Rod McAllister who has since passed away. He was a friend of mine, and he created the realistic dildo out of latex.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much, it was like a big hit. You know, they took these male models and they took their molds, and it was a big thing. But what I did, I took a material that a lot of people think of as hard. It's an acrylic plastic they use in medical IV materials in hospitals, if you can believe that. So it's the safest material you could use on your body, or in your body, let's say. And it's something that doesn't carry any disease, and you could boil it if you have to, or put it in the microwave, or wash it off, and it's going to be as new as it's ever been. And so I've I walked into an adult bookstore years ago, and I mean, we're talking like maybe 30 years ago. Okay, I'm 46 now. I don't know what I was doing in there at 16, but anyway, I was so disgusted. It was like looking at a decapitated penis that was shrink wrapped and thrown up on the wall. It just like grossed me out.
True, that's the impression they're trying to give you.
Yeah, that's the impression. I was very repressed as a youngster, living in Florida in the Bible Belt, and my parents were like fundamentalists to some degree, and so I came to California, which was the left side, and it was really a whole different world out here.
So when we were talking, we talked a little bit about this issue of materials, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, you made a good point, which is that, you know, after a while, if you have a latex dildo, mm-hmm. it starts to smell, I think you said, like a dead fish.
Right, the dead fish material.
And
not only that, but the person that uses it also smells from it. So that's, it's a double-edged sword,
And something like 10% of the population is allergic to latex as well, right?
Exactly.
What are the other common materials?
Well, we have a metal piece that's actually polished aluminum, which
chilly.
Is something that a lot of fetish people use. They like to freeze it or they like to heat it up.
Wow.
And I can't see freezing that. I mean, especially like in Minnesota. What's that about?
But I was actually – I mean, that was the thing when I was on your website that I was most intrigued by. Like, even if you set it out at room temperature, would it feel cold as it sort of penetrated you or –
Well, it depends on the person. You ever shake hands with somebody and their hand is cold?
Oh, yeah.
And then you shake hands with somebody and their hand is warm? It all depends on the person. Like, if someone's really cold and they use my piece, it'll seem warm.
Mm.
But if they're a hot body, it'll seem cool.
The other thing I was wondering, too, is I was wondering if the metal piece was electrically conductive. Cause you could
it's not. Ooh. But... a shaman friend of mine told me that when you do a back rub with my pieces, there's an electrical charge that's put out through the pieces. If you ever get a chance to have one in your hand and you do a back rub with someone, it really is a penetrating thing to the massage. It's like this Japanese style of massage, and that's the only electrical charge, I believe, that are thrown out.
I have to interject a personal note here.
Sure.
It's about acrylic rods. So when I was in high school, one of the ways we were taught about electricity was through generating small amounts of static electricity and playing with it.
Right.
And the way that our teacher, I don't know if this is standard or not, perhaps you can tell me, took essentially a cloth of a certain kind and then an acrylic rod and rubbed held the cloth around the acrylic rod, rubbed it up and down repeatedly until static charge was built up, right?
Uh-huh.
And of course, when you do this in a room full of 14-year-old guys, it's impossible for the 14-year-old guys to think of anything. you know, but
jerking off into a sock, right?
Well, yeah.
What about the 14-year-old girls?
I can't speak for them. Actually.
Okay.
But the teacher doing it actually was a very young, very attractive teacher, right? So that led to a lot of comments, right? So I don't know if the materials you use would serve that same purpose someday.
Well, you know,
in particular with regards to science class.
Well, I buff these with a buffer to get them polished, and I have a lot of static electricity inside of them, and I put them in a pouch. So maybe when someone touches it, they'll get charged by it. Maybe that's what makes them so hot.
Now, the other thing that I thought was interesting was I've never used one, although I'm gonna go to your website, which is someone read it to me.
InnerspaceNumeral1.com.
So it's InnerspaceOne.com. And I was gonna order I think either the acrylic one or the metallic one. And I was thinking, you know, using a sort of rigid or a firm sex toy like that at first seemed to be frightening to me. I mean, I'm used to my sex toys being bendy and
Well, you know, that's the big question that people ask, and the best way to describe it is to have somebody else tell you about it. So what I'll do is I'll have my other friend who is not here, but what she did, she was standing right in front of me, and she says, I will never use a hard toy like this. It would never work, you know. And as I'm standing there, she's standing behind a file cabinet, and I see the expression on her face, and it just changes from, like, pessimistic to optimistic. And she just couldn't believe. It's like, I didn't know when I made this. I had no clue it would work. I just thought it was something beautiful. And it's so slippery that it just slides like greased lightning, if you will. And it's just something that – it's something you just caress. You feel it. You just – in your head, you want to, like, you know, take it on a drive, you know. And it's just something, like, very – you know, cosmic and beautiful.
This material isn't brittle, though. For example, these can be dropped and they won't shatter.
Well, sometimes I'll take one of my cock rings, which is a Lexan bullet-resistant piece, and I'll be at a convention, okay, where there's giant 40-foot ceilings, and I'll throw one up at the concrete wall, and it'll bounce all the way back to my hands, and they don't know how I do it, and it doesn't break. Okay, so I have like these little tricks of the trade and little gags that
it's
I
like
pull
a,
off.
The yo-yo of the penile ring.
Right, it's a penile ring. And I also have one that's a mirror that you could put your penis and balls in the mirror, and you could look at, and what you do, you go to someone, you say, hey, you have something in your eye or in your hair, and then they look in the mirror, and all of a sudden they have a penis right in their face.
That sounds like an ugly trick to put.
Yeah, I saw that thing on your website, and I was wondering exactly what it was used for, but now I understand by putting surprise.
It also makes you look twice as long. So if you have a short problem, you get to look twice as long.
I don't understand. Do you have sort of a funhouse version to make you look lumpy and distorted too?
Well, no. For Halloween, I made a 4-foot by 2-foot mirror and went down to the West Hollywood block party. It had 300,000 people there, and I had a glowing penis sticking out of it, and a lot of people just couldn't believe their eyes, and you know they wanted to check it out. It was insane. Wild stuff.
For those of you unfamiliar with Los Angeles geography, we should point out that West Los Angeles is not the Mormon or Seventh-day Adventist center of Los Angeles.
No, it isn't.
It's the center of the gay population.
And just to add a note to that, everybody was in the best of spirits. I did not see one negative vibe in the whole group of people because of, you know, what's happened at 9/11. And it was such a great feeling and very comfortable, and people were just happy. And I think that's something that's a misnomer amongst a lot of the public. How wonderful it can be in a space like that.
I mean, I've noticed actually, thankfully, DJ Corey made like a little list and discussion of some of your works on here that I'm referring to. And it seems like a big theme in it is actually in your sex toys is like visibility and optics, right? You have, as you said, these funhouse penis mirrors. You have the sex toy that lights up.
Right.
And you mentioned here also, this is one I found particularly interesting, the thing called the Observer.
Right. The Observer is the first one I made, and I just wanted to tell you, if you have a minute.
We do.
I made it actually from a table, from an extra piece off of a table. It was actually a sperm going into an egg, if you will.
Okay.
And the tail was so sharp I had to get a piece of acrylic rod so no one would cut their foot open. So I had a 6-inch piece left. I buffed both ends of it, and I said, wow, I could see right through this. And I said, wow, maybe I could look into a woman or some other hole, like an ant fort or something, or maybe even in a couch. You know, if you go to a hotel, you look in the crack of the couches and you could find like chains or rings or stuff. I make extra money on the side when I go to these conventions, by the way, by doing that.
He's right. It's true.
Long story short is I had it in my glove compartment for like 6 years because I was so shy about pulling out a dildo. But it was beautiful. And so I was with my girlfriend one night, and we were going up the coast, and she pulls it out of my glove compartment, and she says, "Turn her car around. We're going back to our house." And so I took a big flashlight and put it on the end of it, and I was like Darth Vader with this glowing, you know, penis kind of a thing. And I what you want to do is turn off all the lights, because when you have distractions, your mind seems to wander, okay? So I found my way into her little pocket, and it was like something not of this earth. I had never been so amazed in my life. The whole piece started to turn pink as I entered her palace, if you will. And it was I was watching the inside of her, and I was looking at things I couldn't believe. I found a pack of matches in there. I didn't find the pack. But there's a lot you could see, and it's just a wonderful place where life begins.
Have you ever heard of this? We've mentioned her on the show several times before. She should become a sponsor, in fact. Have you ever heard of this performance artist, Annie Sprinkle?
Oh, yes. She was my first client.
Oh, I was going to say, because it sounds like, pardon my joke, like right up her alley with her public cervix.
She looked in my drawers. She was the first person to look in my drawers.
Excuse me?
But no, I have these nightstands I call one-night stands. And that was I was displaying those at a convention, and Annie Sprinkle looked in my drawer. She says, "What's this?" And she says, "Could you make me one a little bit bigger?" And so I did, and the rest was history. She told all of her friends, and I got to know her. And to this day, I've been a good friend of hers.
Wow, fantastic. Wait, so I have to go back and delve a little deeper into the story.
Okay.
So you said it's a nightstand called One Night Stand. What got Annie Sprinkle so excited about it, and what was it about it that Annie Sprinkle needed to be bigger?
Well, number one, I believe that she has a speculum that she lets people look at herself.
Right.
And I had mine were an inch and a half in diameter, the first one I made, and I think that she needed one about 2 inches.
Wait.
I'm not talking about the Observer.
Oh, you're not?
I'm talking about the actual nightstand.
Oh, yeah, the one-night stands, I call them. They're these beautiful museum-quality crafted pieces. See, I was a furniture designer by trade, and I built fine furniture, and I made 12 one-night stands of all different fetishes. And the one she looked in was the classic. It had a little polished cherry in the front of the drawer. It had a garter detail with four legs. And on the inside, it had all the notches from all the times that they had whoopee. And so inside there, the nice little velvet pouch was my Observer, and that's where she kind of got it. And I didn't even want to bring it because I was embarrassed even at a sex convention.
Oh, so she saw the Observer inside the one stand.
I had some things in my drawers. That's correct.
And so she decided she needed a bigger one.
Yes, she did.
Cool, because she's a professional.
Well, yeah. And I, you know, there's several other women there that were in the industry. Anita Hartley, Ona Z, people like that, if you've heard those names. And that was what did it. I was like a fish out of water. I had no idea what was happening. At that point, we sat down at a restaurant afterwards, me and my friend, and we said, "What should we call our company in the sex business?" And then we said, "In Her Space." And then I said, "No, there's other people." And I said, "In Her Space." And that was what happened.
You mentioned that you'd made an Observer for a shoot for Penthouse too.
Oh yeah, I've actually been published in Penthouse 23 times exactly, with 24 in the can still to be published.
Wow.
And yeah, I have.
They like your toys.
Earl Miller, he's the number one photographer. He's a good friend of mine, and we come up with concepts. But the Observer was the first one I got in there, and then we made one for Chloe. She's a porn star. She works at a clinic down here. Imagine going into a medical clinic and it's all porn actresses that we used to work there.
Wow.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Yeah, I mean, I got tested myself for AIDS. Not that I'm in the industry, because I'm not really in that. But it's a
medical clinic staffed with porn actresses. How could you resist?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ask for, like, prostate exam? And
Well, no, they didn't
hernia test?
That. I was actually, my girlfriend said to go get tested, so I did. But anyway, I made a 3-inch diameter. I actually had to fit her like about 6 times. I had to go back, go back, put it in. No, that doesn't fit. Go back, and then finally we got it right. And in fact, one time she had she told me this. This is like, don't tell anybody this. She told me that she got an eggplant stuck in her when she was young.
Japanese eggplant?
I'm not sure how big it was, but I know that she had a long time to do it.
I apologize for bringing this to your attention now, but DJ Corey did tell you we were going to be on the radio, right? So
I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
let me just say, Chloe, if you're listening, we're sorry.
Chloe is really hip, and she's probably not listening. But anyway, so we had it inside of her, and she actually, it's really funny the way that people have orgasms. Every woman and every man has different types of orgasms and different things that make them turned on. What she likes is things that are large. So we had this thing in her. She was sitting there spread wide open, and it was the most beautiful sight. You could actually see the cervix inside. We had these strobe lights and also some other lights that were lighting up the inside like this like almost like a silver ball.
Like a disco vagina.
Oh, the vagina was so pretty. and you couldn't help but look at it. It was so unique to see the inside world. It was just amazing. I wish that they published that. They spent good attention on that because it was absolutely gorgeous.
So I'm going to hit you with a comment, a question, and a follow-up all at the same time. The comment is actually, if our listeners want to call in, the phone number in the studio is 412-621-9728, and we are live and taking calls right now. The question that I have is that you've said this a couple of times, and I actually find it a little bit surprising. I mean, like, I get uncomfortable, like, you know, looking at my own teeth and gums, right? And so the idea of actually, like, getting, like, way inside a woman's vagina, I mean, I like to have my illusions of women, you know. I mean, it's like all meaty and kind of red in there.
It's a good question. I love these questions because I get these all the time. And I went to a convention once where Cindy Crawford was doing some speaking. Mm-hmm. It was a John Gray convention. It was with the normal people of the world who aren't in the sex.
So you weren't fitting Cindy Crawford for an observer, no?
Oh, she has a Venus, actually.
Wow. What kind of convention was this again?
This was a John Gray, Men Are From Venus. Women are from Mars, women from Venus. And I gave him a Mars and a Venus, by the way.
Interesting.
Very très apropos.
Right. But anyway, it's something that in the mainstream of things, it's tough to convince everybody about, you know, what's going on. And it's their own interpretation.
So you're saying some people see the beauty in it, some people don't, but you can't really make them see the beauty in it.
Well, let's say looking inside of a vagina. A friend of mine said it's not for everybody, but everybody's looking because it's curiosity. I mean, it's how you're raised. I mean, I was raised pretty repressed, like, don't look in there, don't do that, don't be naked. And what a joke that is. I mean, they're born naked, and it's
and they're born inside a vagina, for that matter.
And, you know, let me just tell you something that opens up the whole door. We have these oil parties where we all roll around in oil.
Sweet.
I've had about maybe 10 of them in my life, and now we're adding mud to the mix.
And are you going to make it to foam parties eventually?
Well, no, I probably won't because we're doing it in a – there's three different types you could have. You could have a playful one, you could have a sexual one, or you could have a sacred one. And we've always been playful and a little bit of sexual.
A sacred oil party?
Oh, yeah.
Mud
it's like
bottles.
tantric type of and you know, meditation kind of a thing. It's for the serious people that want to go to the highest level.
And people who want to be naked and oily and take all the fun out of it.
Oh, well, let me just put it this way. I was totally terrified the first time I ever jumped in. In fact, I was still with my underwear on, and five women took my underwear off, and they threw me on the mat, and they jumped on top of me. I mean, and I was so terrified, but it's all my inhibitions went away in a minute, and we spent 8 hours rolling around in the oil. And then I was walking around naked. I wasn't worried about my body at all or what I looked like. And even there was like the 65-year-old woman that was on top of me, and I didn't bother me a bit. So it's like there's this shield that everybody has. And
that was, you know, you can say her name. That was Geraldine Ferraro, right?
Probably was, yeah. Well, she, you know what? A smile to me is what is the opening to the whole door. I mean, it's just so beautiful when people smile and you can trust them, and that's what it's about. If you have a good smile and you have all good intentions and intent. Mm. You know, it's wonderful.
Perhaps instead it was TV's Sherry Lewis. Sorry.
Well, I wanted to tell you a little bit.
Oh, the
moving right along. So I interrupted your story.
No, that's fine.
You were saying you're at this convention. The men are from Mars.
Oh, yes. Venus. Anyway, it was very difficult because these were not people in the sex industry.
Right.
And I was showing people what we had, and one lady came up to me, and she saw this penis-shaped one, and she made the sign of the cross on her chest. And then she walked away like disgusted. And then I have another person come over and say, oh, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, because I had a light sitting there at that time. But anyway, it was just something mainstream, I think, is slowly becoming aware of the possibilities. I mean, you're seeing it on sitcoms on TV. I mean, Howard Stern has certainly opened up a door. But it's something that, you know, it's our human, our existence, you know, this energy force that we all have, and we've been deprived of it by the fundamentalists. And I know that's a whole different issue, but anyway, I just think that people should feel free to be themselves and without hurting anyone.
Yeah, I was actually, the thing that I was confused about, and I wasn't sure if this is the Observer or this is the follow-up to the Observer, but my Dr. Sexopoulos has just pointed out you've got this new technology that you're going to debut in the Howard Stern show.
Right. Well, basically, it's not necessarily a new technology as much as it is a new idea. One of the things that I do is I take big pride in making original concepts. And usually you don't find something new under the sun, but I think there's a lot under the sun. What's under the sun is the moon. but I think...
Except when there's a...
Well, okay, here's what I do. I'll just tell you the experiment that we tried. I actually have a lot of lesbian girlfriends, and they're always experimental. They'd love to see what I'm coming up with next and what have you. And so, in fact, I even, like, spend a lot of time with them doing oil parties and whatever.
You sound like a lesbian's best friend, right? Like, you're the man with all the sex toys.
Well,
and experimental sex toys at that.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's not like it sounds. We have a lot of other wonderful times as well. But anyway, long story short is that, what were we talking about? I don't know how your mind...
The Howard Stern Show, your optic thing.
Oh, yes.
Thing.
I'm sorry. Well, what I did, there's a lady I know that's open-minded to anything, and I have this fiber optic box that has like a 200-watt halogen bulb that makes a pin light go into a cylinder shaped like a penis. So that goes into the anus, okay? And you turn off all the lights, by the way. Again, all the lights have to be off. And what that does, that lights up the entire lower half of her body, okay? So then you come in with my Observer. But this time you have a camera in the Observer. And you look inside, and you have... There's no way to describe it, but it looks like the Grand Canyon at sunset. Okay, there's no way to describe it, but it looks like the Grand Canyon at sunset. Okay. And then during orgasm, the color change is phenomenal because you see the capillaries and you see the motion. You see, it's like a storm inside there with the motions and,
interesting.
The clouds of lubricant and natural lubricant, and it's mind-boggling. It's just something so unpredictable, and so I'm going to try to make a movie eventually. But I want to have this as a product that people can buy, and then of course you could reverse the light, put the light in the vagina, and then look in the asshole. But I don't know if that's...
We're going to have to ask you to repeat that in a different language since we're getting beeped every time.
Sorry.
No. It's not your fault. It's the FCC.
You can say, for example, anal cavity.
Or her butt hole.
Okay.
We just don't want our listeners to miss a single second of your material here. So you're saying you can reverse it. You can put the light into the vaginal cavity, and then you can put the camera in the anal cavity.
That's correct.
And
then you could see what you've definitely been missing for a long time.
I mean,
or, you know, some people wonder what's down there. In fact, oh, by the way, I just want to let you know, I have a new product I'm developing. It's called AfterWipe. For those people that think they missed a little bit, it's actually like a butt plug. And it'll be sitting on your, your bathroom or at a public bathroom. You'll have like a little dispenser, and it's like a butt plug, and you put your finger on the paper, and then after you wipe your butt, you get to wipe the rest of it that's on the inside. I don't know if that's a little bit out there, but...
Oh, so it's like a Q-tip.
Right.
But for
exactly.
Your butt, right?
An after wipe.
Wow.
Afterwipe.com. It should be coming up.
I don't know if I would use
I assume they're disposable.
Yes. Okay, because I was just, I don't know if I'd use it
totally
after,
disposable.
After wiping a public restroom. But okay,
right.
If they're disposable.
But who's not going to use that? Who's going to walk around with extra stuff going on?
You know, I don't know. Some people, you know, their sphincter is already reclenched up. They don't want to take the time to loosen it
again.
You know.
Right. Well,
you know.
Anyway, I hope that doesn't offend anyone.
So your invention, though, the previous one, is begging for elaboration, right? Have you experimented with infrared?
Well, as a matter of fact, not infrared yet. We have to get a lens or a camera because that way you can see where the heat's coming from.
Right.
That's for sure. You know, if you ever take a picture of a woman or a man, their bodies during sex. A woman's body, the whole body heats up, and for a man, it's only in downtown. So it's certainly something that I want to look at for sure.
Interesting. Yeah, actually, when you were talking about that, actually, the one camera angle that I would like to see is the camera inside the woman's vagina and then seeing the penis enter.
Oh, I have a sex device that shows that.
Really?
Yeah, what it is, it's the same observer, but with a channel that's on the side of it for the penis. In fact, I made this one for Chloe in the penthouse shoot, but we were looking for a guy with a narrow, thin, like really long, thin penis that would like go into the back where the cervix was, and then you could see conception through the front.
So I'm imagining penthouse has some kind of computerized database, right, where like, okay, we need a 1-inch circumference, an 8-inch length penis, and it brings up phone numbers.
Well,
or is it not quite that organized?
The way this whole thing works, this might be a secret I'm giving out, but what the heck. If you're a photographer that knows all the ropes about taking pictures of women, you will have every day the rest of your life as a photographer naked women walking in your house taking their clothes off, and you'd be looking at them because that's what every photographer does that works for Penthouse. They have to screen all the ladies and even men. They have men, you know, take their clothes off and they look at them. And I was with my friend, and he had to go in the women's room and see them naked. And I was sitting there waiting for him to come out, and he says, oh, I don't think you're going to be able to make it, you know, because she had some kind of a flap hanging down or whatever. But it's totally an amazing world that we all live in the sex world, that is.
Yet another show that brings home to Dr. Sexopoulos and I that we're wasting our lives in graduate school.
Right. We could be taking pictures of naked ladies.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of the pictures need work, to tell you the truth. I wish I was in that as a photographer. I really think I would be able to rock the house. As far as something very wonderful and beautiful. What they do in these, they have these stage shots where they have to do the spread eagle. They got to have this kind of a shot. It's really like discriminating against the woman and men a lot of times, too.
Well, it's just like the old Murray Dance School where they've got the steps all laid out on the ground.
Exactly. No doubt. So I wanted to tell you one thing about the funniest thing that I ever, the biggest laugh I ever had, because I love what I do so much because it's always a blast. You know, I get phone calls from different people, and one lady, she had 17 G-spots. and when she went to the laundromat, she would have an orgasm as she was walking. And she had orgasms almost every hour, if you can believe that.
How do you verify there were G-spots and not H?
Well, they're not G-spots. They're sensitive areas.
Oh, okay.
The G-spot is probably more specific, site-specific, okay? So she had areas that she couldn't reach with her finger because she had to actually get rid of the sensation by rubbing it. So I had to come up with these
devices.
Wait,
so you're saying she had to get rid of the sensation by rubbing it, otherwise she would just explode into orgasm?
That's correct. In other words, it was an anti-dildo. An anti-deal. What a concept. To make it not have orgasm.
Did you have to make it tactilely unpleasant by putting, like, sandpaper or...
Well, no, actually, I didn't do that. The story is that I had to make them that they hooked around and up to the different areas because you couldn't reach with their finger. But the sad thing is that medicine, like, you know, a regular hospital or a doctor, couldn't do anything for her because they don't want to, you know, step into that arena of sexuality.
Right.
And at least she probably couldn't find someone that give her advice or something. But so I had to, you know, in my infinite wisdom, I had to come up with something. And by the way, I have saved a couple lives with my sex toys too. One lady was diagnosed by having cancer, and they diagnosed it by using my observer.
No
kidding. That was excellent. You know, that happened.
I'm curious, did the doctors diagnose it or did her partner diagnose it?
Well, her partner diagnosed it. He was a photographer. He took a picture of it through the lens of the observer.
Wow.
And the problem was I wanted to have this in, like, the New England Journal of Medicine, but they wouldn't do it because he was cheating on his wife. And I was such a bummer when I found that out. Because I wanted to make like a big story.
It's funny because most breast cancers are discovered by partners, or many of them, maybe not most, by partners, you know, engaged in sexual activity, right? So you know, we put an observer in every pot.
Well, every honey pot?
Yeah. Actually, I believe in the future what's going to happen. Like the man will have his and the woman will have hers. And there will be senior citizens, and the husband will say, "All right, honey, bend over. It's your turn. Let's see what you got today." You know, I'm hoping that's what happens.
Hopefully, the robot holocaust will come before our nursing homes are filled with geriatric and sex toys. But
what do you mean geriatrics have sex toys right now? I'm sure they're just not like checking each other.
Certainly does. That's
true. Just not checking each other for medical conditions on a daily basis using sex toys.
So I wanted to share with you the funniest thing that ever happened with me. When I first came up with the Observer, I showed all my friends, because I was like, you know, I was unembarrassed actually, because I had this sex toy and they were like making fun of me. You know how that works. I was like about 25, and I actually showed it to my friend and he put it in his mouth. Okay, and I said, "John, you're going to scratch it and you're going to get your teeth chipped or something." And he wouldn't take it out of his mouth, and all my friends were looking down his throat, and it was like, you know, he was just making a big scene. I said, "John, get it out of your mouth. It was in my butt last night." and he spit it across the room. It hit the wall, and we were laughing for 20 minutes. So anytime somebody puts one in their mouth, I show them how to do it, like at a convention. I'll say, "If you look it down your wife's throat, you can see inside. But just remember, it was in my butt last night." Anyway, I hope that's not a sad joke.
Does that guarantee come with every explorer you sell?
Yeah, I have a little statement in there about that.
That's sweet, actually.
Yeah, it is a nice little thing.
Assuming you use your regular lipstick.
Yeah, because I know the next place it's going to be a special.
That's sweet, actually.
Yeah, it is a nice little thing.
Assuming you use your regular lipstick.
Yeah, because I know the next place it's going to be a special place.
Speaking of special places, actually, you had a couple of really great stories I wanted to get to about Burning Man, both in the pieces you've done there and the pieces that you're planning for the future. So I was wondering if you could start with the...
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just tell you, I make goddesses for a living, if you will, the way I look at it. And I make this Water Woman. And the people that go to Burning Man, I'm sure there are people in the Pittsburgh area that know Burning Man. Mm-hmm. They know Water Woman because I've been there about 8 years now. And what she's a 20-foot sculpture painted with black light UV paint, and we put this big giant black light on her at nighttime, and we have a yellow pee coming out of her. And during the day, we shower people through her crotch.
And I've heard of this, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is that actual pee or is it store-bought like brand?
No, I went to the dumpster to find her material. When I first got her, I used recycled material to make her into a beautiful goddess.
No, the pee that comes out.
Oh, no, no.
Making a pee joke.
Yeah, I actually use a UV active pill that you put in the water, and it could make a whole swimming pool yellow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't put a little bit of urine in there just for like
authenticity? Well, you know, the first year we used to put food coloring in there. We make people turn different colors. And so the first person that ever had a shower was this Chinese girl that was a senator's secretary in Washington, D.C. So we turned her whole body blue, and it was just so much fun. Then we had another lady turn red and other yellow, and it's just wild stuff.
But hopefully it washes off, right?
Well, after a few days. We had a more permanent one we were considering, but I didn't think that was a good idea.
If you filled the pee with bronzer, for example... You know, people will be all over that in Los Angeles.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think they would. But Water Woman, we've gone out there this year. I made a big pyramid 30 feet tall, and we photographed our what I call mud dance. It's a performing art theater where we have people rolling in the mud, creating these mandala shapes, these designs, like big lotus flowers. And the first thing we did, we had these people in a circle, all these women in a circle, and they were to protect their egg because they were an egg, and we had all the guys pretend they're sperm with their hands on their side, and they tried to penetrate the egg, and we had it all photographed from the top, and it was the most primal, energetic 2.5 hours of pure bliss. And then after we showered off from Water Woman, we jumped back under the pyramid with a new piece of plastic down, and we had about 100 people rolling around in essential oils. And at that point, we made some other designs, and we all became like one unit, just one squirming bunch of like maggots almost. It was just really insane.
Sexy.
But beautiful. We had drumming and flute playing and didgeridoos, and the atmosphere was alive, and the energy from the earth was just pounding, and it was just unreal. And then we had, during the process, we had critical tits. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
No, what is it?
It's 10,000 women on bicycles topless, and they drove through our camp, and we all went outside our camp to look at them, and we were throwing mud at them, and it was just hilarious.
That was kind
of Pittsburgh having 10,000 women on bicycles driving through topless.
Sometimes I don't even think there's 10,000 women in Pittsburgh. How many people are at Burning Man altogether? 10,000?
We should work this out someday.
10,000 topless women seems like a lot.
This year there was that many because the parade went all the way around Burning Man, which is like 2 miles wide.
Mm-hmm.
But it was insane. And so Burning Man has been a life changing experience for me. I got to tell you this other story at Burning Man. I have this penis shaped phallic hollowed out clear item that I put glowing liquid in. Okay. So we went to this one camp where all these people supposedly, like, wait around for people to have sex. So we put about 20 glow sticks in this thing. As soon as I put the cap on it and I dried it off, this Polish woman comes up to me and she says, I won't make love to that, okay? So she pushes me off the couch. She gets a rubber, puts it on the piece, and then in a couple of seconds, we had 100 people surrounding her as she was doing herself. And it was totally like the most amazing. It was the debut of my piece. Within 7 seconds, it was being used.
did she glow?
It was unreal. It was glowing, and then all of a sudden, the lights went out. But it's because it was inside. but that was back about 5 years ago.
Well, that's actually interesting. I mean, when you were talking about these devices, the first thought that came to my mind was, should you put like something inside them, like a snow globe, like have a little, maybe, you know, a cityscape with little flecks of snow falling, or maybe a little electronic
animated.
Well,
we were going to have an ocean in the bottle kind of a thing at one time.
Mm.
You can't have all your dreams come true sometimes, because I have a problem with too many ideas.
That's not the philosophy of the show.
Yeah, I know.
Don't tell our listeners can have all their dreams come true.
Yeah, let them go for it. Yeah. It's so hard. Let me just give you my other idea. That's even bigger than this. Picture, if you will, a punch bowl bustier where you could serve drinks through your nipples if you have a woman wearing this. And that's going to be happening within a few weeks.
I like it.
Excellent.
Sounds like you throw great parties.
Oh, it's the party punch.
And so if the woman lies on her back, does it become a fountain?
Well, it all depends on the muscle control she has. There'll be little nipples or a choice of little faucets. And that's going to be coming up pretty soon. But big-breasted women can't wear it. They already have their own fountain.
Your porn star friends will be disappointed.
Of course.
But back to the putting stuff inside. Again, if you have a hollowed-out thing, you could put, like, tiny life snakes in there.
Nice.
That's symbolic, right?
Oh, you could put, like, brine shrimp, you know? You could have a whole deal going.
A little aquarium, a little tropical fish.
Oh, yeah.
Small monkeys, maybe?
Yeah, perhaps a small monkey, yeah.
There's anything goes.
Although PETA might be upset if you actually put live animals in there.
You could have air holes and food in there somehow.
Well, you know, speaking of air holes, what I do is I put champagne in there, and I have a little tiny pinhole at the top, and when I shake it up, it spews water. I spews the champagne like it's like, you know, I have an orgasm. And at one of these times, I'm going to go to the Mardi Gras down in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to have, like, all these things, and everybody will be shaking up a storm, I can tell you that much.
So do you... So I've been wondering, do you have much contact with other people, like in kind of the fetish wear, fetish community? Because it doesn't. It seems like it's probably a pretty small world. You're going to conventions to sell your stuff. You must meet the people who make, like, the leather dresses, the rubber bodysuits, the smothering masks.
There's a place called Sirens here in L.A. They're number one in this area. They make these latex outfits.
Mm-hmm.
I have ladies that sell to, like, the big leather place, the biggest leather gay company is called Mr. S in San Francisco, and they make all these amazing things that I sell to them. It never ends. The spectrum is, I met this girl once that was like maybe 17 years old, and she was a hooker, and her mother was the madam. Okay. The next day, I met this guy that owns the biggest gay leather store in San Francisco, and his son is the buyer, and he's 20. So that shows you the spectrum of people that you can meet, and they're all like happy campers.
You move in a much more interesting circle than I, sir.
I know these guys. I know there's things that go on and ideas that we have. There's a guy named Ira Levine who works for Taboo Magazine. Mm-hmm. He is Mr. Everything as far as fetish. And anything and everything you can think of has been done or is being done right now. And it's to me, I'm in a different path. I'm on a path of beauty and elegance and pleasure, where some people, I think, take that too far, and they take a shock value to it.
Mm-hmm.
They get, you know, money. And I think those are people who aren't creative, and you know, it's actually a little bit disturbing.
I have to interject here. Our producer shot me with a mind control dart that forces me to ask you to speak up a little bit.
Okay, not a problem.
Sorry about that.
And actually, I was going to take this opportunity to put you on the spot. As longtime listeners of this show know, I have wanted one thing for a long time, but I haven't had the artistic or sort of craftsman ability to create it.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Abs you can wash a shirt on.
Well, both of those things, but what I really want is my suit of 1,000 penises. and what I want is something that I can, like, put on sort of like a diving, you know, a skin diving suit, but has, like, 1,000 articulated operational penises, like, wriggling and writhing as I go about my daily business.
On the inside or the outside? This is the question. So
well, I was assuming it was on the outside.
Possible. It might have to be reversible. Like, what do you think about that? Like, just go with that for a second. Do you think you could build me that? Do you think it would be, like, a hit in the, say,
well,
the
Well, number one, it would be very heavy, and you'd be dragging your ass. And then if you drag your ass and you have all that stuff in the back, you'd better watch out. But, as far as we were thinking about having a jacket that you open up, and it has the dildos in the inner section of the jacket.
Mm.
But if it was lightweight, you know, it's lightweight material, we could certainly do anything. I mean, if that's your big deal, I just put up the blueprint, the jacket size, and I can make it. See, this is the kind of thing I make.
This is the kind of can-do thinking that we've been missing here, because DJ Corey has posed this very question to, like, literally the finest robotic minds in the world, which are here at Carnegie Mellon University. And
really? They've
just shrugged their little nerdy shoulders and said, oh, we can't do it.
Well, I don't think our guest is actually promising full robotic articulation.
No, but he's promising a deliverable, which, as anybody at the... at DARPA would tell you is the
well. Let me tell you something along those same lines. We were going to do a convention where we were going to have a jacket on a girl, and have a skirt, and you'd have business cards in the skirt, and it would be clear acetate outfit. So as people take the business cards, it would be she'd be disrobing.
That's a great idea, actually.
So we could have that with the sex toys. We could have them, like, if you were going to distribute those, you could have them take them away, and then they start to see. No, you're a little toad ass. I don't know if it's that small, but.
So you're saying as DJ Corey, like, impaled various objects with his penises off the suit of the 1,000 penises, they would break off, slowly revealing his trim physique beneath?
Right. That would be a way to
go. Intriguing.
Yeah.
Just as the way penises of many insects break off during mating to seal the cavity so no other insects can mate with a female.
That's true.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Same thing with the baboon, by the way.
What? Baboons' penises don't break off.
Well, no, they don't break off, but I heard today, just today, that when they have sex, their sperm hardens around the opening of the vagina of the woman baboon, the female baboon. So another baboon can't have sex.
It's like they ejaculate grout.
Right. Exactly. Oh, boy.
Wow, monkeys never cease to amaze and amuse,
isn't
don't they?
Isn't it amazing?
Yep.
Well, the whole life, the sexual world is continuous. It's not something that stops.
I think it stops the moment you enter graduate school.
Yeah.
So unless DJ Corey had something, I have another one of your inventions that I want to ask for elaboration.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Yeah. His cryptic notes here mentioned the bass fiddle.
Right. I built a first thing I did, I sketched the bass fiddle. I called it the ass bass. Two women fit in it. One is upside down on the bottom. One's on the top, and they have strings strung to their vaginas. With dildos inside their vaginas. And then you get a person with a bow, and the string is pulled tight, and you play the string, and it vibrates the dildo that's inside. So, actually, this is an 8,000-year-old trick, because over in Thailand, they used to take these eggs with cat gut, and they used to put it in the female and male, and they would take a bow, and they'd vibrate the string, and it'd become like a vibrator.
Intriguing.
And this was like documented proof of this, but you're not going to see it like at the Pat Robertson Clinic. But anyway, this big bass fiddle we did for a penthouse shoot, and we had a small fiddle, a violin, and inside the anal cavity, if you will, we had a mute bell like a trumpet mute, and that way you could hear what sound was coming out of their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did, I put a little whistle inside that little muted bugle, just in case the girl had gas, because if she did, we wanted to hear it so we could get out of the way. Because you know you're working really close quarters there, and you don't want to be like blown away with a silencer.
I can't believe you haven't marketed that as a product. I mean, it's the novelty gift,
Just today, I was thinking about like a gas restaurant where you eat food that makes you have gas, and then instead of a restroom, a fart room. And you collect the gas, and I actually have another product.
Wait, once the gas is collected, what do? Use it to help heat the city?
No, we light the lamps in the restaurant.
Oh.
I think this could be a huge hit in college cities, for example.
Oh, huge. It's like a little funnel thing, and you have to, like, turn the valve off after you're done. And then there's some kind of an apparatus that sucks the air into another tank. But I do have a gas sex toy that I'm developing. It's a butt plug that blows bubbles. Okay, you dip it in the bubble, you shoot the bubbles, and they'll rise high, like up in the air. Okay, then you get a straw with a match, and you have a little igniter at the end. You shoot like a pea shooter at the bubble, and it'll blow up. Okay, and that's another product I'm going to be coming out with by Christmas. So yeah,
that's brilliant.
My mind is continuous.
you're sort of like a sexy Ron Popeye, actually.
Well, let me just brief you on why my mind continues. It's because when you don't have sex, you have to have some substitute.
Well, you're telling me you're not having sex? I think.
Sex. Yeah. What about the oil parties and the girlfriend?
And the porn actresses and the Burning Man. And
well, what happened was it was like all of a sudden I moved to Los Angeles and hit the fan. Let me just put it that way. Everything was so wonderful after that. I lived in the Silicon Valley, which has all engineers down there.
Oh, not the Silicon Valley, which would be the San Fernando
Valley.
Right.
Silicon is the San Fernando Valley.
Right.
Silicon is the up in the Bay Area. But
So are you worried now that you're rolling in the kind of sex you appear to be rolling in, that your creative mind is going to lose its spark?
Well, you know what's really funny? I had sex the other day for like about a month and a half, okay?
Wait, you had sex for a month and a half?
Yeah, it was totally like sex. I met this girl at Burning Man. It was just the most amazing.
It was like
the best time of my life, I'll be honest with you. And I got back, and she went to Italy, and I'm sitting here trying to – I can't think of anything. That's when I came up with the after wipe. So I said yes. It definitely takes the energy away, because it got down to that. But it's starting to come back. I got like other things coming up now.
Sounds like a long distance relationship would be ideal for you.
Oh,
so
I
these long gaps where you could be creative, and then you could use those creative juices every weekend or two.
Well, here's what I did. I wrote a book once. I had a girlfriend in Switzerland, and she was there for like a year. And every day I would come up with a new sex position or a sex fantasy. And I'm a good sketcher. I do some great sketches. So I sketched a new sketch every day in this book. And one of the sketches was a miniature. Remember Gulliver's Travel?
Mm-hmm.
I had a little man the size of maybe like 3 inches long, and he was wrapped up in the lips of a vagina. Okay?
There are whole websites devoted to this very fetish.
Oh, is there?
Yes. Yeah. Shrinking women, shrinking men, like tiny men and women being engulfed. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then of course the foot warmer was the butt. But anyway, I have like that. That's one of the things we did. But
so what was the weirdest? I mean, I'm afraid we're gonna have to wrap up the show in a minute. But what was the weirdest named sexual position you came up with? Can you beat the flying buttress?
Well, we gave rise to it. I made the last. If you look in Penthouse magazine this month, you'll see a picture of one of my pieces. It's a it's an angel type of a strap on, and it gives new meaning to a flying blank.
Wait, so what's? I mean, I didn't know there was a whole type of strap on, the angel type of strap on.
Well, no, I make strap ons, but they're like prosthetics. They're like a third unit that you put on your body.
I think you meant this one had wings and.
Right. Well, this one has feathers, and it had a penis that sounded gold. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
Wait, I'm curious. So there was a whole miniature angel with a penis as a strap on, or
not
an angel
a miniature angel? No, it was normal sized women. In fact, I went to a lingerie party with this one lady, and everybody at the party dragged her in the bathroom just to look at her body. And these are the women dragging them in.
Couldn't they have just saved time and made her disrobe in front of everybody?
Oh, yeah. See, women are allowed to get away with murder. Guys can't touch them. It's just a really amazing life I'm living, I guess.
But can't argue with that.
No, it's totally, but it's all positive, and I don't think there's anything really wrong with any of it. But there's a lot to talk about. I wanted to thank you for letting me on, by the way.
Oh no, thank you.
Oh, our pleasure.
This has been fantastic.
Yeah,
excellent.
It's good to meet like perhaps the Thomas Edison of our time of sex toys.
Well, let me just put it this way: there's a lot of work to do, and there's ideas, and I think that in the future you'll see some of my work in Penthouse. You'll see it probably on my website, interspace1.com. But I'm always open to suggestions, and if anybody has any ideas, they can email me, and we can talk.
Well, Ray, the first thing you're going to do, of course, is get to work on the Suit of 1,000 Penises.
I think that actually has a nice ring to it. It has a very nice ring. It's a keeper. No doubt.
Believe me, Ray, you know, you and me, we're going places.
Well, you know, I have a lot of rejects. I could put those on there.
Oh, reject? Oh, interesting.
Well, that would be sort of a Clive Barkerian, you know, the Suit of 1,000 weird, malformed, rejected machine.
I guarantee you will be getting the look. I guarantee you. There's no doubt. Because I did this once for Halloween. I put a bunch of Hustler magazine pictures on my jacket, and I had a witch's hat on, and everybody was looking at me. It was almost too bad.
You say that as if that fact surprises you.
Yeah. They were giving me looks I never got from guys, okay?
Well, this
so
is
you're going to get looks from a lot of women, probably, and some guys.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, now that, you know, now that wearing fur has gone out of fashion because of the quilting thing, people might wear, like, rejected dildos and Hustler photos instead.
Yeah. Recycling.
Well, you know, I work in the industry, and there's a lot of these items that people, they throw out, like these sex manufacturers. And I could probably get you so many pieces that you won't know what to do with them. In fact, I could even, if you give me your address, you may get like a truckload of them.
Fantastic.
Sweet. We'll talk.
Yeah. We'll definitely follow
up. We'll stay on the line.
On that note, I'm afraid we are out of time.
Okay.
Once again, we'd like to thank you very, very much for coming on the show.
No problem.
It was a delight.
No problem.
Your website, again, is interspace1, and that's the digit one, interspace1.com.
Right. Everyone go there and buy his lovely artistic dildos and strap-ons and vibrators and observers.
Exactly.
It's a command from your sex talk masters.
Excellent.
And this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Tune in next week, Tuesday at 11. Goodbye.